This show is brought to you by Lyft. Are you in between jobs and looking to make extra money? Looking to save money for the holidays? Whatever the reason is, everyone needs to make a little bit of extra money. And the best way to do it is by driving for Lyft, the ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, and earn up to $1,500 a week driving your car. Sign up today at Lyft.com/Joey. That's Lyft.com/Joey. And we have a special offer for our listeners. You get a $500 bonus when you sign up using our show. So go to Lyft.com/Joey right now, and sign up to get your $500 bonus. Show is also brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? If you want to find the best candidates, you need to post on all the top sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter. Post to up to 100 job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter. Right now, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/church. That's right. ZipRecruiter is offering a deal for our listeners only. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/church and post jobs for free. Show is also brought to you by MVMT Watches. I'm wearing their watches right now. I'm wearing the black on black. It's great. I love it. It's very light, and it's a great watch. So when you go to MVMTWatches.com/church, you're going to get 15% off of your order with free shipping and free returns. That's MVMTWatches.com/church to save 15%. Show is also brought to you by Onnit.com.
Music. Oh, shit. It's that creepy motherfucking night, cocksuckers. I really don't give a fuck. But I'm happy you guys are doing your thing. It's Halloween, bitches. It's October 31st, 2016. Next time you see daylight, you'll be seeing a Thanksgiving commercial with that motherfucker. But it doesn't really matter, because it's just another fucking day. The church awards happening now, cocksuckers. We're coming at you. Ba-ba. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. R.I.P. Michael Jackson. Today was probably one of his biggest pervert days. He just answered the door in a bikini with a fucking Mickey Mouse helmet on and shit. The church awards happening now, cocksuckers. Fucked up is that if you thought that he sat there and go, when is the day I could really lure kids? Maybe Halloween. Maybe I'll write a song about fucking Halloween and shit and make it popular and do a video so fucking kids could come to my house and I could molest like 18 of them instead of one. That's a fucked up
I can't believe people, like, parents have to be careful. Like, you have to be careful on Halloween. Like, it's
real careful. It was amazing today. Because I wasn't home all weekend. I went to Vegas, but I got home Sunday, and I missed a trunk or treat. Trunk or treats are a little safe haven. Don't get me wrong. There's got to be perverts lurking somewhere.
There's always one.
Do I feel comfortable with my wife with her walking? You know, my wife talks to people, and she's very nice, but, you know, today was the worst. Today was obviously the worst. Because today, I got a knock on the door at 5 o'clock. I open it, and this kid's trick or treat. And I go, Mercy, you want to go? She goes, Dad, let me go with the kids. It was like 20 kids. I go outside, there's maybe like five or six parents, they're walking their dogs, you know, same shit. Everybody wants to be a movie star. One parent's drinking a margarita. They just can't for the other parents are dressed up. I got a cowboy hat on. I don't even have a holster. I just got a fucking gun. And my wife forgot to put the bandana on me. I don't even have a shirt. I wore this blue shirt, whatever the fuck. And I'm having a good time. I met one of the parents goes to Legacy, one of the dads.
Oh, cool.
Goes to jiu-jitsu. He's like, hey, I remember that? Yeah. We walked down the corner, and now they wanted to cross Colfax. What do you think we should do? Should we cross Colfax? Cars are zipping by. And I go, finally, you know, here's a bunch of educated fucking white people. You think they come up with a fucking plan with their 20 kids? They're like, what should we do? Should we cross Colfax? Meanwhile, cars are zipping by. I got Mercy by the fucking hand like it's my fucking hand. I'm connected by super glue. And I go, can I ask you guys a question? Why don't we just walk to the corner and make a fucking left and walk all the way to the park and then walk down? And after an hour of that, you're done. You're good to go. There's no reason to cross the street to fucking Colfax. It's the same shit.
Yeah, they're young. They don't need that much.
You don't need that much. It's right on this side. You know, if I walk from my house to your light and back, you're good to go. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
It looks close, but it ain't fucking close. It's a walk and a half. But now if we're walking in between those streets on houses, you're going to hit 2,000 fucking houses.
Oh, yeah. California kids must just clean up because that was a big thing where I grew up. They had, like, big yards. Like, every house had, like, an acre or something. So, like, it was a big thing to get houses. Where I grew up here, it's every, like, what, quarter of an acre? It's, like, barely anything.
Yeah, you got a fucking house. So I go, let's just have, so we stayed on there for a minute. Austin, this lady starts going, now it's getting dark. Now it's just dark. And cars are coming up from everywhere. And they want to stay on the street where the cars are active. I'm trying to hit the side streets and cut down the driveways. You know those long, you know how every street here has a driveway that goes all the way down? You don't even need to hit the main streets.
No.
And some streets you can just hit from fucking driveway to every street in North Hollywood has an alley. And they usually have them in Hollywood. All those streets have alleys. And if you really pay attention, you could probably go from one avenue to the other one in those alleys.
Oh, I do it all the time.
It's 8 miles an hour, but you got no fucking traffic and nobody's cutting you off. You know what I'm saying? You're constantly moving. So I'm in those alleys and I'm walking and I'm popping up at the other street. We're not having any contact with cars, any contact with goofy people. Finally, a one lady raises her hand and she goes, listen, I'm talking to my friend. They're on the church on Laurel Canyon. Let's walk over. And me and my wife just look at each other like, it's dark out. And you motherfuckers ain't going to be happy till you walk across Colfax, are you, with these kids? You're not going to be happy till you walk across with these fucking kids. Okay, I won't. Me and my wife and daughter turned the other way. And I thought Mercy was going to have a couch. She looked at those kids. She's like, fuck them, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of walking for them.
Fuck those dummies. And we went and hiked for another hour. Me, Mercy, and my wife, in fact, more kids tagged along with us, and we were on that side street because we were by the park. We're by the park. It's just fucking, it's just common sense. I got to tell you something, Lee. I'm at the point in my life where I always walked around thinking I was the stupid one. Like, I always walked around and listened to other people's opinions and listened to other people's ideas, and I would go, why are people doing that? And for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, I've been questioning that, and I've been doing just fucking fine on my own. Do you know that? And it's like I've come to the point that I wasn't as dumb as I fucking thought I was. For years, I thought I was really fucking dumb. And now I'm opening my eyes and I'm like, there's so many fucking dumb people around me. And it's not even dumb like academic dumb. It's common sense dumb. And it's people who you think would be mildly educated and have a half a fucking brain in their head. They both have parents. They all went to college. But lately, it's like I'm losing faith. Like, I can't believe that there's this many dumb, unsmart street people walking around our fucking earth right now. Or if maybe it's just this area. I've never seen anything like this. I see it at the airport. I see it just in daily routines. It's we're victims of habit. But absolutely. When something happens, you get alerted to that habit and you heighten it. And now you pay more attention. People do not give a fuck. That's why people continue to get blown up. It's just so weird. When I see hit and run things late at night, I start thinking anymore. Like that lady who got hit in a fucking wheelchair. You know, the guy should have stayed and go, listen, I hit her. But who's out on Burbank Boulevard with a fucking wheelchair at 3 a.m?
I didn't even hear about this.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago, they were looking for a white van.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, was it the big one on like the, not the wheelchair, but like the scooter?
Yeah, like a scooter.
Oh, yeah, she's always around.
She's always around at 3:15 in the morning. She's bound to get hit eventually. Don't she have friends to tell her? But anyway, not to get away from my fucking situation here. I'm just thinking to myself, for years, I always thought I was a dumb run in the room. And ever since I've opened up my mouth, I've realized that I wasn't that fucking dumb. I had to make a big decision last week. had to make the decision that involved more help. But for a month, all I kept thinking about was what I was getting for my money compared to the money that I was paying out. And I'm not getting much. I'm $4,000 off from what they wanted for what they supply me. And I'm starting to feel guilty that I'm not using them. But I can't while I have a daughter. I cannot use these people. But their explanation was to me that everybody that wants to get to certain levels have to use these people. And I don't see it. I've never seen it. For me right now, at this point, what's going on in our business right now, when you sign with a manager, it's basically to have somebody answer your phone calls and call you and go, this is what's going on. And I really don't want that.
Yeah, it seems like stuff will get lot like misinterpreted.
I don't want an answering machine. I can't pay you to be an answering machine. I can pay you to do work.
Right.
I'll always pay you to do work.
But you don't need an answering machine.
But I'll pay you what you're worth. I'm not going to overpay you for what you're supplying me. I can't overpay you when you're taking a message from somebody and somebody else is doing the work.
Right. That's understandable.
I just can't do that. I can't do that. And I don't want to sign with a manager unless I really need one or unless a guy is getting me auditions every day and I'm working every day. Then I don't mind giving them a piece of the package. But I just can't give you a piece of the package for relaying messages to me. You know what? I do all the stuff myself. And I like staying on top of it. I really enjoy staying on top of it. It keeps me sharp.
Do you think you need one? Like, I know you said people will say that. But I think a lot of that is just, even not even the status. I'm sure a lot of people say, well, there's status with having a manager. But there's just, people just do what everyone else does. I think that's what a lot of everything is.
You know, when you look at these IMDBs, these people have publicists and lawyers on staff. And listen, bro, that costs a lot of fucking dough. It's cool to have. So when people look at you, they go, but you know what? That cost at the end of the year. Those publicists are basically the biggest ripoffs in the world.
Yeah, it's like thousands.
A publicist, if you're thinking about getting a publicist or you ever wondered what a publicist does, let me tell you what they do. They do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. It's like taking a dollar bill and lighting it on fire. And you can't believe that these people have offices because there's a little job. And it's called like the Tonight Show and premieres and shit like that. And these people schedule like your cars. These people schedule like your radio interviews. Like, you know, they'll call these stations. And they do. Some of them do a great job of it. Some of them have access to everybody. I don't mind paying you the dough, but I want you to call Howard Stern right now at home and tell him he needs to have me on the radio station tomorrow at 10 to 9. If you can't do that, you're not worth your weight in gold.
So you want the best?
Yeah, you always want the best, but none of them could do that. When I go on your Twitter page as a publicist and you have 10,000 people, I can't pay you any fucking money. But they pop up every 3 weeks in Hollywood. I get a request from a different publicist. And sometimes I fuck with them. I ask them how much they are. You would not believe what the numbers are. 6,000, 5,000 a month.
A month?
A month. And you sit there and giggle. Because there's nothing they can do for you in this economy. What are they going to do? Get me on 3 more radio stations? What are they going to do? Get me on a cover of a magazine? Look at my face. What are they going to do? They're not going to do nothing. Most people use a publicist. Let's say if you want to be on TMZ, right? I could call a publicist right now and say, listen, go to Jerry's Deli. Call Jerry's Deli and tell him Joe Diaz wants to make a reservation. And they'll have TMZ there. So when I get there, TMZ will be there. And I act surprised.
It's crazy, though, because
that's what publicists do for people at home. That's what the new thing that they do out here is. Some people want to be on TMZ, so they hire a publicist, and they'll go, listen, I'm going to go down to fucking the Comedy Store. Like, they're always at the Improv TMZ.
Yeah, the cameraman.
And if you want to see him, you could see him. If you don't, you slip out the side door. I don't see him. I never see him. I don't want to see TMZ. They're not nice people. They're not the nicest people in the world.
Really? They're not?
No. No, not at all. They'll start a conversation with you on a nice edge. It takes a certain person to be those people. They start a conversation with you on a nice tone. Then they push the envelope a little bit. Like, try to be cute, and it's a cute I don't like. And you end up hitting them in the head with the camera. Now you do 10 years of time. So I just don't even like talking to any of them.
So, yeah, you just avoid.
I just avoid them like the plague.
But don't you think, like, the high A-list level celebrities, if they wanted to get Stern, could just call themselves?
No. Well, let's say Clooney. Clooney could fucking do whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
But there's some A-listers that, I don't know, maybe they want to get exposed for a movie, like a movie's coming out on Friday, so they want TMZ to see him somewhere. You know, there's 1,000 different scams what they do.
It's amazing.
None of them which interest me. That's the problem.
Right.
None of them which interest me. When I did Grudge Match, they fucking made me hire a publicist. It was like throwing away my money. I fired that bitch New Year's Day, that hook-faced bitch.
Oh, jeez.
She was one of the ugliest women. She was the creepiest fucking broad I ever worked with in my life. And she had gotten married, and her wedding pictures were on Facebook, and she made her husband dress in white, and he was no better looking than her. And they were all holding hands with a bunch of ugly friends dancing around a circle in Hawaii barefoot. And they're all Jews, but they're the ugliest Jews. Like, these are the Jews that, I don't know what happened to them.
Like, I feel like you look at this stuff as you're signing the checks just to piss you off.
What do you mean?
Like, you look at, like, the pictures on Facebook. You look at, like, the stuff.
No. Before I checked her out, I had to look at her Facebook. And there she is dressed in white. She probably sucked 80 dicks. And there she is dressed in white in Hawaii. She talked this poor sap into marrying her in fucking Hawaii in the sand. Meanwhile, some fucking dirty white kid from Rockland County has been fucking her in the ass for the last 8 years. She talked this fucking ugly dude to marry her and all her ugly friends, and they're in fucking Hawaii, you know, holding hands, spinning around in a circle like somebody gives a fuck. You know, what was I thinking? And usually I don't listen to them. Usually when people say, like, I can't. But I thought the people at Grudge Match were very nice, and they weren't lying to me. I thought the requests were going to come in for something. I didn't fucking know. No request came in for nothing. I said, she goes, what do you want to do? I go, I'd like to go to the premiere and take my 7th grade fucking teacher. She goes, I don't know if that'll fucking happen. She knows. She goes, and if it does happen, you have to pay for your hotel and airfare. So what did I do? I hit fucking Peter Siegel up on an email. He took care of everything for me.
Yeah, so what's
he paid for a plane ticket. I upgraded it to first class, I think. It didn't really fucking matter. At least he made an effort. I got a hotel myself for 2 nights, and they paid for 2 nights or some shit. And I went to see Grudge Match with my 7th grade teacher and one of my friends. No big fucking deal, all right? And I fired her. I was fucking furious after that because she didn't call me and ask me how it went or nothing. So she always said, to fire me, you got to fire me on the first. I launched her New Year's Day at 6:01 in the fucking morning. She called me at home yelling and screaming, I can't believe you opened up my new year with this bad news. Listen, bitch, when I fucking got the plane ticket and the fucking hotel room for free, you were doomed. You were doomed. You just fucking saved me. You were going to cost me fucking $1,000. How can I pay you ever again? I don't even want you around me. You're just a lazy sack of shit. You didn't call nobody. They don't want to burn somebody's things. You got to go listen. This kid was in the trailer, correct? Yes, he was. Okay. We need his plane ticket in the hotel room. We're not asking for much. Base plane ticket. No biggie. 500, 600. You know what I'm saying? Just make it up.
Right.
Run with them as they're doing it. They got the money. It's Paramount. They got the money.
Oh, yeah.
They always got the fucking money. You just got to work them a little bit. That would be a real shame. That would be a real shame if a kid you put in the trailer, you couldn't at least give him a plane ticket. It was that easy. I said, Mr. Siegel, I just got to ask you something. It's that time of the year. The movie gets released Christmas Day. It's December 18th. The plane tickets are like $700. I want to know if the movie is like that. And you don't have to be embarrassed. You got it coming to you. We put you in the trailer. Boom. I got a plane ticket and a fucking hotel for asking. So she didn't ask, Lee. She didn't ask. She just called me and said, no, they're just willing to give you passes. No, they're not. You never called, you fucking hook-faced bitch.
Jesus. And that's a job that she had. Like that's weird that exists. Because that seems like something an agent could do, or like you were saying, a manager.
And today, all you need to do is go on your fucking Twitter and look that person up and hit them direct. All you need to do now to get radio, like in the old days, you would hire a publicist. Like I was thinking of hiring my friend.
Okay.
I've hired her twice, and both times I haven't talked to her for 90 days after that because she's that bad. She's that fucking stupid and retarded. And for some reason, I called her up. I know she needs dough, and I went to PayPal, and I go, hey, I'm going to send you $50 to see if my PayPal works. Even fate fucked her. The PayPal wouldn't work to her email. I go, that's fate. Fuck. I never called her back. When fate fucks you in the ass, I can't call you back.
No.
The email specifically to her didn't fucking work.
That's fucked up.
It wouldn't even take $50 at PayPal, so I knew it wasn't met in the cards. I didn't call because I was going to hire her for Boston and Connecticut. To see if she could help us with newspaper article or print for Foxwoods, since it's the night of 9/11. And I go, you know what? The last two times I wanted to choke her. And I paid her because I love her, and I don't want to disrespect her, but I can't do it. Because there's always a story, and I'm not in the mood for stories anymore.
And if PayPal said no.
PayPal was like, don't send her the money. Don't do it. Don't do it.
It must be weird hiring people. And having that, like that responsibility, because yeah, I can see opening the year, losing a gig is gonna suck, but that's not your responsibility. Like you can't pay someone just to be nice.
No, I have a fucking 3-year-old dog. Those days are gone now. Those days are gone, Lisa. I can't do it no more. I can't do it. I used to like help people out and stuff, and then people don't give a fuck. I can't do it. It's just. Every time I've had a manager in this town, except Jeff Gatlin, it's been a disaster. It's ended bad. And at the end, it just cost me fucking money. They make out because they got paid. They always make out. I fired them. Big deal. I paid them for 5 months during my hottest movie or whatever.
And you're the one left with like the bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, because it cost me fucking money. It was a mistake that cost you paper is a mistake you never forget. And then you do it again. And it wasn't that this guy is not a great manager. It's that for right now, what's going on in my life, there's not much going on for him to do. The contract goes through CAA. He's going to get it at the end, look at it, and go, okay. He didn't call the club. He didn't do nothing.
Right. So, yeah, that's an unnecessary.
That's an unnecessary thing. Unless now he's got huge television contacts. Listen, dog, there's a new show on CBS about New Jersey. I know they need a garbage man. Boom, let me call the fucking executive producer. I went to lunch with him last week. I'll take him out to lunch. We'll get a writer to write you in a part. Something. Once a week. Even once a week, he's worth it, okay? He's getting me this. He's getting me that. I haven't done a movie in 4 or 5 fucking years, Lee. 4 fucking years. 2013, right? I did Grudge Match.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, 3 years.
3 fucking years, you know. So... if you're going to be my manager right now, my club work, my comedy shit is taken care of. I need everything else attacked. My comedy is taken care of.
And
I just can't give you Gitas because you look at a contract and say, oh, man, that's a great deal they're giving you.
And it's not worth it to you to say, oh, I have this manager or that manager.
No, unless they're, no.
Or any manager.
No. I got a call from my agent tonight. Hey, I'm going to be in Boston. I love my agent, but I don't want him in Boston. And I've told him this 10 times. I don't want you around, though. I don't want nobody around. I don't want nobody around. You know, I want to zip in and out of a place. I don't want to eat dinner before the fucking thing. I don't want to eat dinner before the show. So I want to be by myself for 3-4 hours before the fucking show. I'm pretty happy by going to the gym and coming upstairs, and I'm very happy by doing that. I could eat a sandwich upstairs. I eat light, you know. But I don't want to talk to nobody before a fucking show. You know, it's just the way it is. What am I going to talk about? I got to go to dinner with you for an hour, and then I got to talk to other people on stage, where the people that matters. They're the people that matters. The people that are paying to come to the fucking show are the ones that deserve my focus and my conversation. Not some agent or a friend of mine that I got to go to dinner with before the fucking show or talk to 2 hours before the show. I don't want to talk to nobody. You see me in the green room. We sit back there, we smoke a joint. We don't say much.
No.
It's just me and you.
There's not.
That's it. When you come to Austin, no. I don't even want the TV on. I don't want nothing. I don't want no movement. I don't want no movement around me. I just want to relax. I ask you simple questions, you give me simple answers, and you do the same. I.e., what's the color of the sky today? Blue. That type of shit. Anything about anything out of that, I don't want to really fucking, there's nothing to really talk about. I don't want people around because after the show, after two shows, what do I want you around for? To talk to me about what? To ask me more fucking dumb questions? I just did two fucking shows.
Is it weird? Because it's
weird.
Well, that's work for you. Like that's like your work week.
Yes, I don't want nobody to fuck around. I don't want nobody to fuck around. You and I, we do this. You have an understanding. You're a fan of comedy. You walk around. I'll stay back there by myself. I don't want to answer no questions or talk to nobody or be involved in a conversation. I want to be involved in the conversation 4 minutes before I go on stage. 4 minutes, 5 minutes before I go on stage, as I'm going to the stage, I want to bump into you briefly and converse with you for two fucking seconds. And hopefully you have like a turban on or a pair of shoes that fucking bother me so I can say something to you to your face, get aggravated enough to walk up to the stage, and now I have a purpose.
Do you love confronting people like that? Like, I hate, like if you know them, I guess?
Sure, if I know them, I'll say, really, you gotta wear this shit tonight? I'm doing a show, and then they'll know. They'll know what's going on. People like Rogan, Ari, Duncan know I got to get fired up before I go on stage. I don't want to pick a fight with you, but I want to ask you what the fuck is going on with your head that you got to wear those fucking that T-shirt or that fucking dumb look on your fucking face or whatever the fuck is going on. I need that. I need to get sparked, you know? I need to either get, like, put ranch dressing and walk into my room, you know?
And just and what is that? Is it, you can feel it when you go on stage, like yeah. You have more energy?
Yeah. I just need 5 minutes of somebody aggravating me. I don't want an hour aggravating me. That just brings me down.
Oh, okay. So you'll start it. Like, you'll initiate the conversation then. Okay.
Yeah. No. You'll initiate it by wearing something or saying something fucking stupid 2 minutes before I got to go on stage. Not you personally. Whoever the fuck wants to come, you know.
Oh, okay. I thought it was me. I was like, yeah.
Sometimes you got to do a bong hit mid podcast. It's a Halloween podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Smells like Snickers.
I didn't eat a lot of chocolate.
No, I love
snacks. No, I think I ate one. I had licorice. She gave me a stick of licorice last night. Mercy's cheap with the fucking candy. You know, it's not like she's going to give you a bunch of it. She's got her eye on it. She gave me some goldfish when she took them back. She had two of them, slobbered them up, and tried to give me slobby fucking goldfish. I don't need this shit. Goldfish covered in the flu.
What about tonight when you go home? Like, my brother and I always used to hide our candy.
Oh, yeah, she's got the bucket. I just saw it when I went back to pick up that stuff. She's got buckets everywhere, that shit. She's got two buckets of candy.
Yeah, and there's going to be one by tomorrow. Like, that must be the best part about being a parent.
As I was leaving this evening, she was sitting on the chair, and she had already eaten a bag of M&M peanuts or something, and chocolate was dripping down her face and over here. And she was chewing on something. And she was just about to open up another bag. And my wife grabbed and go, one more bag. Then we put the rest of the candy away till tomorrow. She was cool with it.
Yeah.
She was cool with it. That's it. I'm happy for her. She had a good little Halloween. She had 3 nights of fucking trick-or-treating.
Damn.
And she had trunk-or-treat. One night at the church and one night at the fucking school. Who the fuck knows, Lee? I don't, you know. It's... I'm baffled by all this. I'm still blown away that I'm a parent. Never mind doing comedy. Never mind doing a fucking podcast. I walked around with her today. She looked like a cowgirl with a hat. I'm looking at her walking with 18 other kids in the middle. And every time she bumped into a kid, a hat fell off. She had to stop and pick up the fucking hat. She didn't give a fuck. She put the hat right back on her head. So I'm learning from her, I think, as much as she's learning from me. I'm learning about myself from her as much as fucking... She's learning about me, I guess. So it's a pretty interesting part of my life, you know.
I know you were nervous about having Mercy late, like being a little bit later, I guess, than you usually do. But it must be, and not even just with you, but it must be so cool for kids to have like parents who actually have like actual life experience. Because like there are kids my age who have 10-year-old kids, and that's great. But what if I had been teaching someone for the last 10 years? That would have been terrible.
So, I'm having a really good time. You know, she's 3.5 and it's great. I'm happy for her. She goes to school 4 days a week. You know, she's got the fucking activities. But I think about the other side of that. I think about, like, I'm having a good time with her. I've never had this before in my life. You know, I've never had this calm, this, you know, a couple weeks ago, I had to, you know, clear my schedule for. And I got to tell you, I was angry for 18 seconds. And I understood where 10 years ago, I would have been angry for an hour. And then I would have came to terms and eventually she would have warmed my heart. This time, I was okay with it. For 18 seconds, I go, wow, damn, I can't do that. Fuck it. This is what it is, you know. I've accepted those little things. You know, I'm still ashamed of a lot of people that don't understand my situation.
In what way don't they understand it?
That I have a schedule. And I don't break it for nobody. Like, I have a schedule. I know what I want to do every week. And sorry, this is what I want to do. I have this type of time to fuck around. Tomorrow I got jiu-jitsu. I got something at 3:30. And I got something from 4 to 5:15. I'm going down to do a spot. And I'm going to meet Shane. And we're going to taco and talk about pitching and shit like this. You know, like, not baseball pitching, but pitching this fucking stupid thing we're trying to write. And that's what I want to do, you know. Wednesday, listen, I ain't going to Hollywood Wednesday day. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to drill class. I'm going to jiu-jitsu, and I'm going to fucking whatever. Thursday, I might go to Hollywood in the daytime and take care of a few things. Thursday night, I got a spot at the store. Friday, I'm not going up over that fucking hill. Saturday, I haven't decided yet. I might babysit and let my wife go to a movie at night or something just to get her out of the house. She's been in the fucking house for the last 3 weekends. You know, that weekend I came in that I was supposed to watch the baby and she was sick.
So it didn't really count,
she didn't get to do anything. She had been home for 6 fucking weeks. So maybe I was just thinking of maybe staying home one night this week, letting her go to the movies, go get coffee, whatever the fuck she wants to do. You have to give them a break, too. They can't just sit in that goddamn house, you know?
No. Jesus Christ.
I'm starting to lose my... That's the only thing that's bothering me right now in my life. My location situation. I don't know if this is where I want to stay yet. There's a lot of variables in my life, but I can't stand these fucking people, man. The joke is becoming a reality. Every day I hate one more person. They drive me crazy, man. And the good Lord knows I try.
Now, do you think if you didn't have a kid, you maybe wouldn't care as much? You'd just stay out here because it's work?
No, if I didn't have a kid right now, I don't know. But there's still, the thing is, everything still applies with me. Like, I still don't think I could do a winter in the East Coast.
I think you. I think after a couple of weeks, you get used to it. It's terrible, but it's not that bad. And trust me, I hate snow. But the only issue for you, I guess, would be the traveling, and that's a huge issue. Is that you need to get out every week. But for me, I don't think it'd be that much of an issue.
Unless you just flew March till fucking October, and told everybody to suck your dick, work locally. 2 weeks a month. That's the other option. November, you work in Jersey. December, you work in New York. And January, February, you work in Long Island and Boston.
Yeah, you could do that. Work the Amtrak schedule. Yeah,
that's
the Amtrak tour, yeah.
And then March, start going back on planes and shit. So you could, that's a great plan, Lee. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, it could work. It's, I'm nowhere near ever, like, having kids. Like, that's not in my future right now. But I see what you're saying.
Always remember, Lee, nothing's ever in your future.
Right, that's true.
Nothing's ever in your future. Nobody fucking goes home and goes, tonight we're going to make a kid. And by next year, you know, nobody does that. a kid always comes surprised. I mean,
really, you think it's mostly a surprise?
Well, no. Some people, you know, there's some women who whatever ovulate, whatever the ovulate, and they got to get dicked that fucking night like a werewolf or see, whatever.
That, I thought most people did it like that. I have no idea. I just always assume people.
Some
like
people do it, and all of a sudden people knock up pregnant, and next thing you know, you gotta adjust your life in 9 months, or to think what you have to adjust your life to for life to be like. And it's really no major big fucking deal. You wait. It's so funny. I always reference a movie that I saw, and that's The Thief. There's a scene with James Caan and Tuesday Weld in a diner, and he tells her about this thing that happens to him in prison and what's supposed to happen and what he did and what happens. And he goes, you know what? Nothing happened. For all this time, I stressed out this situation that something was going to happen. And at the end, nothing happened. And it's the same thing with anything in life. You just pick it up and run with it. And you learn as you go along. But if you sit there and look at it from an outsider's eye and start reading books on it, you're going to get all caught up in bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I didn't like. Like a lot. I think parenting comes down to a lot of common sense. I think a lot of shit comes down to a lot of common sense. There's things I see that I can't believe that I'm not smart and I'm the only person who sees that.
Right. So you think you're not the smart one and you see it, so why don't these smart people see it?
Well, these fucking people who are walking around acting fucking smart with their little fucking hats and their little fucking dogs and shit. Make them believe like they know something about life. Why are they acting this way? The fact that they wanted to walk across that and Lee, at 6:30, it's busy by Hollywood High.
Oh, yeah.
Lee, it's fucking busy over there. And those people were driving past at Colfax. And I'm sitting there going, why is my daughter walking towards Colfax? And I even tried to turn them down the alley. And they kept going to fucking Colfax. Then the dad got into the middle of the street like to stop traffic. And cars were still whizzing back him.
Fuck you. I'm not going to stop for a random guy. Oh, I hate when people do that.
Well, this is exactly what happened.
They think they're a crossing guard.
Yeah, next thing you know, he's like, kids come. And all of a sudden your kid gets whacked by a fucking car. Fuck you. I couldn't fucking believe it. I'm like, Terry, what's going on here? I go, no. Excuse me. Why don't we walk down to the corner and make a left and then walk around? And they're like, oh, my God, that doesn't sound bad. I go, look, those first three houses, the people on the porches waiting for kids. And you guys want to cross the street.
And to me, like, I can understand where it's like, okay, well, there's the crosswalk. It'd be okay. But every other day, today in Van Nuys, there was a police chase. And, like, there's always crazy shit going on. And like, why take the chance?
You won't stop for nobody either. All right, I thought I was fucking going crazy here.
Oh, no. Dude, I wouldn't go out before Paula. I wouldn't leave my house on Saturdays and Sundays and go to, like, at all. But especially to Ventura Boulevard. Like, it makes me so uncomfortable. Like, we're going back to Boston. I was single for a long time in Boston. I used to hate going out Friday and Saturday nights because it's when all the drunk people, all, like, the people who go... Go, woo, and all that, like all that stuff, which is great, is fine. They're young and having fun. I did it a couple times, but I'm not that kind of person. And then those are the kind of people who bump into you, who walk into you because they're looking at their phone, and I just avoided it. But yeah, you can't live in your house your whole life, so it's a struggle.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep them going under. Ha 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 ha. No,
and I think those people are everywhere now. Like, I don't think, let's say you move somewhere, unless you, like, live with family or certain people. Like, I think those people are just, I think everywhere is the same now. I think that's what...
I'll tell you what I was seeing last weekend. I'm still baffled. And we talked about it. Rogan and I talked about it for 30 minutes before the podcast started. And then we didn't talk about it anymore. During the podcast, we talked on it. And I was really starting to think about it. Okay, so I'm doing MMA Junkie Radio. I want to thank those guys, George and his brother Ghost, for putting me on Friday morning to promote my show in Vegas. Stitch Duran was on. I had a great time. But while I'm sitting there, we're talking about they're moving the Raiders to Las Vegas.
Oof.
Okay. And he goes, I go, so where's the stadium? And he goes, basically right across the street. And I go, so wait a second. They're going to put that fucking stadium in the middle of all this.
So it's near the strip?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's going to be, there's going to be a lot of people dying there.
So I'm thinking to myself, listen, I watched the Raiders when they were fucking nasty in the 70s with Matuszak. I liked watching all that sickness. And then Big John Madden was the coach. I still remember that being a fucking kid, you know. And then the guy hit the guy on Monday night and crippled him, I think. I think it was a Monday Night Football game. You know, Lester the Molester. I loved all that shit. But it became something else. Again, I don't mind watching a football game. But when me and Lee go to a 7-Eleven and there's a guy in there with a Raider tattoo all over his fucking head and his neck, you know, I mean, I don't know, Lee. I don't know. So,
like the Raiders is another aspect to it. I'm just saying having an NFL stadium right next to the strip with all that alcohol, all those people, and two teams, one team lost, that's not going to be good. The Raiders, I've only heard about it. When I was just watching football, they were good. Like Rich Gannon, I think they won a Super Bowl around when I started like paying attention to football. But I've only heard about like the craziness that goes on there. Have you been to a game there?
No. But I know what happens at these games now. And every week I wake up and I see a video or they talk about it on the news about an argument at a football game, these Rams games.
Yeah, the Rams game is on.
You know, I told fucking Bert Kreisch, I can't believe you got season tickets and you bring your wife down there. You know, what if there's somebody fucking hits your head, your wife in the head with a fucking bottle because you want to go to a stupid fucking football game? My friend's got season tickets. He always asks me, do I want to go down there? I just don't want to go to a game and get hit in the head because I'm there trying to enjoy a fucking game. I don't think they're smart anymore. You know, you said you went to a game and you got up to get hot dogs and the guys are talking to your girlfriend. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's just, I'm not in the mood for all that shit anymore in my life.
I didn't see that in Boston. I'm sure it exists somewhere. I think maybe it's just the bleachers. I think maybe it's just worth it to pay to sit in the nicer places sometimes. But even then, what are you going to do on the way out? Like, it's the place now where the Rams are and the place where they're going are not fun places to be.
But they're gentrifying it in Englewood.
Eventually.
And it's going to be next to the Forum, correct?
Yeah. But it's not gentrified right now. And neither is the USC area.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. When is the proposed opening for this stadium?
I think it's like in 2 or 3 years, but let me check.
Okay, in 2 or 3 years, they're going to have more fucking, they're going to have Bed Bad & Beyond down there.
Oh, yeah. And
when you want to chase black people out of your neighborhood, you don't call the Ku Klux Klan. You put a Bed Bad & Beyond in that fucking neighborhood. Nothing scares black people more than Bed Bad & Beyond. They read that word beyond and that fucks with black people. That word beyond, they don't like that shit. Beyonce, I'm on. But beyond, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That's all. That's what's going to happen. Guarantee. You want to scare the fuck out of white black people? Bed Bath and Beyond. Not Subway. Those other Firestone station. That's fire bread fucking
gross.
Bread.
Yeah.
You'll go in there.
I went there once.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you don't even need to go in there. You can tell. It's a chain that's making sandwiches. They're going to cut edges and give you shitty cold cuts. They tell you the cold cuts are good, but the cold cuts are garbage.
Nope.
And the bread's garbage. That's what the whole thing about these sandwiches anymore is the bread is garbage.
This is my problem. The Firestone one is apparently they steam it. And the owner was there. He was nice, but he was like, hey, man, you probably shouldn't take that to go because we steam it. So by the time it's going to get all soggy. And I was like,
fuck you.
I'm like, that's what you do with a sandwich.
I want my sandwich steamed like I want my balls licked by a fucking cat with sandpaper. Dante Gazzini showed up the other night in Las Vegas looking like fucking Michael Corleone's driver.
Nice. He lost a bunch of weight.
He looks good. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. You know, again, I don't want to do dick before a show, and then I'm going to do dick after a show. Now, basically, after a show, I just talked to people for 2 fucking hours, and I just sat down for 45 minutes, and I got back up for an hour, which means every muscle in my fucking leg is sore. So after the shows, I want to sit there and talk to these people and take pictures and fuck around. Dante and his friends were very nice enough to invite me to dinner. And I tried to tell Dante that Friday nights we usually go out with Mario's son. Remember Danny?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Danny comes and then we shoot out and we just go get a dinner at his house or whatever. You cook Cuban for whatever the fuck. But it just so happened that I just shook Dante's hand. When I went outside that night, Danny called me and said, I'm not coming Friday night. I'm coming Saturday with my dad. If Dante would have hung out, I would have probably ended up to go eat with him, or he would have ended up going eat with us over at the Clem, because we usually go to that fucking seafood bar.
Right, yeah.
But we were there till 10 o'clock talking shit again. You know, the show ends at 9, and you're out there till 9, 10, 10:30 talking shit. You know how it is when you, after a show, people go to the show. Some people want to smoke with you or whatever. I ain't smoking with people. I didn't take nothing. Some lady did bring me candies, but I didn't take them till the end because now I'm scared because they threw you out. They got everybody under the eye, and if they threw you out, they want to throw me out next. So I'm like, I ain't taking nothing from fucking nobody. I wouldn't even take a kiss from fucking people. Nothing. But people missed you, you know. But I still like the South Point.
Oh, yeah.
The reasons why I like the South Point is for all the reasons we discussed. I know exactly what I'm getting. I got a good breakfast. I got a good lunch. I got a good piece of coconut cake. I took 3 bites and threw it away in the garbage. I didn't
eat that. You want coconut cake this year?
Yeah.
Not the strawberry shortcake.
No. I wanted to switch it up a little bit. Every once in a while, I got to switch it up. But it's funny. I got to see our good friend Larry. Larry's a dynamite guy. And I said to him, listen, tomorrow I'll swing your kid by. But after radio, I went back to the room and got stoned and fell asleep. And I go, just bring him up to the room. And he came up to the room, and Steve Simone and Larry had a boy up there, and it was his 10th birthday. That shit made me feel better than the fucking shows, you know, seeing how happy Larry was and his kid was. You know, I'm the meatball king on fucking Fox or whatever the fuck I was on.
Yeah, his kid, and he Steve loves Simone's, Steve Simone.
He loves Steve Simone's comedy and stuff. You know, Steve Simone has this family-friendly comedy. I'm listening to it the other night, and I'm like, these people are having a good time right now. They're about to run into a brick wall with me. He's up there talking about ice cream and dreams and fucking pajamas and shit. And I'm about to go up there and talk about fucking Copernicus. You know, so where's that fucking music you were going to play there? Monday, October 31st.
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do with me.
Fucking tremendous. 50 years
to learn,
and the fucking song still sounds fucking great. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's all about. Let me give some shout outs real quick. Happy birthday, Matt Holmeyer, Joey Alvarado, the fucking kettlebell king. Got some article printed. Me and Rogan were talking about him on the podcast today. If you really want to get in jiu-jitsu shape with fucking kettlebells, Joey Alvarado is your man. Brandy Lynn, always looking good with a new Joey Diaz fucking pirated shirt. Art Porn, Chris O'Hara, Thomas Eagle, Lorne Rosenker, and Jeff Skinner. I love you motherfuckers. And don't forget, 60 tickets left for the Wilbur Theater in Boston next Friday. Tons of tickets next left for November 12th at Foxwoods. What's up, Lee?
Oh, no, I was going to say it's down to 40-something now. I checked.
Really?
Yeah, so get your tickets fast.
40 tickets left at the Wilbur Theater, and I'm not adding no shows. I ain't that fucking type of monster. What you got is what you get, cocksucker. Ali Wong sold out. Fucking, they got a great lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Wilbur Theater ain't fucking around, bro. They got a good lineup.
The last time I was there, probably like 6 or 7 years ago, was to see Russell Peters.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah. They've always had comedy there, but now it seems like they're focusing on it.
Well, they're going after a different, you know, echelon or whatever. I don't know. I liked Laugh Boston. I have nothing against Laugh Boston. I think Laugh Boston's a great club. You know, the agency just wanted me to move up and do this theater. So I said, I'll do it one time and see how it works out. I didn't think I would do well. I just wanted to prove to them that, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to prove. And I lost, so. But I'll give it a shot and see how it goes. I'm very excited about that.
It'll be fun. Do you mind if I talk real quick about the old episodes?
No, go ahead.
So, guys, there used to be a limit on how many podcasts you could have on iTunes, only the most current 100 episodes. Everything's always been available on our RSS feed. But real quick, what I'm going to do is I'm going to release them all. But some of you have it set on to download every episode. Please don't switch it to have it only download new episodes, because I'm going to re-release everything, but I don't want to kill anyone's data plan. It's because I opened it for a couple hours and we got a bunch of downloads, so I was like, oh shit. So if anyone just check your subscription and be on the lookout. I'm going to do it on Thursday morning, I guess. I'll do it Wednesday morning. And just be on the lookout for it. And that now that just means for everyone else that all 400 and whatever episodes will be available on your phone.
Unfucking believable, cocksucker. Look at you. Re-releasing like Ricky and Desi.
Yeah.
And Lucille Ball and shit like that.
So yeah, Wednesday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, I'll do it.
I've been having a hard time lately because I've been getting into this fucking Celia show on Netflix. I'm up to, you know, I don't watch it for a few days and I'll watch 2 episodes a night for 3 nights or something. And I'm up to episode, I don't know, 20-something. And right now, Fidel took over. And it's so weird to see this island. And first off, I have to congratulate the writers of the show. They've done a phenomenal job so far. I told my wife, if they mention Union City, New Jersey, I will fucking shoot myself in the head. I'll have to contact these guys because they really did their homework. So it's a show about a Cuban singer. But right now, at this point, Castro's taken over. The girl that was getting sexually molested by her stepfather has left and gone to New York City, and she's a successful singer. The young cousin to Celia Cruz is now homosexual, and the Castro regime just beat him up because I told Rogan about this 15 years ago that when the Castro regime took over in the beginning, they hated gay people. They were killing gays, throwing them out of ships with fucking tied their hands and shit. There's tons of stories about the Fidel Castro regime did to fucking
Jesus Christ
gay people. I mean, there is so much going on in this TV show that is on point. You know, the racism that was in Cuba, how they tried to threaten Celia Cruz to leave the band because of the color of her skin. They said she won't sell records. The owner of the company, his name is Sidney Siegel. He's a Jew, but he speaks Spanish. He's a Cuban Jew.
I was going to say, that's a pretty Jewish name.
Sidney fucking Siegel. That's a great fucking name. But I also noticed that not once do they call him El Judio, the Jew. I don't understand why. And they say mulata, they say la negrita, they say slang words on the show. It's all in Spanish. But it's in whatever the fuck you call it when the words come up. You know what I'm saying? I listen to it. And I'm really enjoying the Spanish because it's 60% Cuban Spanish.
You think they would have called him just the Jew to him? They would have called him the Jew?
Behind his back, they called him El Julio. Because Cubans do that shit. They just say El Julio. They go by nationality. But the point I'm trying to make, that what's really weird about this show, is the religion that's involved in this. You know, whether it's the Santeria side or just praying to the saints. And what this, you know, when my wife said, look at that person, she couldn't be anymore. When did the Irish invade Cuba? My wife said it as a joke. And I looked at her straight in the face and I said, what do you mean? The Battle of the Boyne. When the Irish that didn't want to fight, wanted to leave, they went to the only other Catholic country. Cuba is known as a fucking Catholic country. That's it. That's it. It's a Catholic country. You know, so all these Irish went there. And there's a Chinese chick in the show to really show the different ethnicities that ended up in this island. It was like an island of fucking pirates that now had flourished and they had gambling. They don't show the gambling in this show, which really baffles me. But it was they show this island in the 50s that's fucking successful, and it has gambling, and it has music, and bands are coming to play there, and you know, it's just this. The generations today don't know about this. Even I, that was closer to that generation, I forgot all about this. I tell you what, it is making me do. It's making me hate Castro again.
Oh, really?
All over again, like really fucking hate him.
Do they just show news clips? What do?
They show. They have an actor that's playing Castro, and how they took over homes. They went in there with a lie, but they went in there at the perfect time, Lisa Ann. They went in there when Batista was making a mockery out of that island. You know, Batista didn't care about that island for the last 5 years. It was Italian controlled. You know, it was mafia controlled, those casinos. And basically, Batista was just taking a percentage and robbing. He didn't give a fuck, Jack. And they didn't give, there's nothing they could do. Because what can they do to him? If they killed him, they had another fucking guy to deal with. So Batista did whatever the fuck he wanted to all those years. But at the same time, there was people dying of starvation in Cuba. You know, when I was a child, I heard these stories. And when I got a little older, I heard these stories. And I seen the Cubans in my neighborhood show the hatred they did for Fidel Castro. And I never could understand. Like, get over it. Watching this again makes me understand why. It's really interesting what it's done to me, watch this show. It also made me understand something else. It made me understand something about myself, that you know what kept me alive all those years when I was in the rocket ship and I went to jail and I was involved with my ex-wife and the kid and when I was having all those problems. You know what kept me alive, Lisa?
What's that?
My faith. I swear to God, I just realized it the last week or so. That's how much I believed as a young man, you know.
In Catholicism.
Yeah, just Catholicism and the whole belief that I was being watched, that I had angels, people watched over me. I really...
Did you abandon them before, like when you were doing all the bad stuff?
I abandoned that... I abandoned that after the bad stuff. After my mom passed away, I abandoned it because I lost, like I've said before, my belief system. That's when I abandoned it, because I couldn't believe it would happen. You know, if there was a God, if there was all these great things, well, how could this happen at this age?
Right. But it's, even, like, when did you get it back? Because I would imagine it'd be a struggle to deal with doing some of the bad stuff and thinking you're being watched.
I would think it from time to time all those years. I probably got a little bit of my faith back like in 2001 was when it started coming back. You know, I've been thinking a lot lately. I've been writing a lot lately. And it's really weird what love does to you in a way. And even though I tried to fight Terry off, Terry gave me some faith for a couple of years there. You know, just a little bit of faith. And I was shooting a short film. I was shooting a short film that I went in there. I have no fucking idea why I went in there. And I booked it. It was $100 a day. And they started breaking my balls right off the bat. Like, we're going to do rehearsals. And I'm like, that's not going to happen. What's the problem? Like, it's a $100 a day film, brother. I can't rehearse this shit. I rehearse on the fucking set. When we're blocking, we rehearse. He was a new director out of USC. He was by the book. I had to break his spirit right off the bat.
Was he still at USC? Was it a student film?
No,
he
just graduated, but he was doing something. And you know what? I told him, fuck you. I was like, I ain't doing it. I told him in the audition. He goes, you know, if you book this, we're going to rehearse all next week. And I go, how much does this pay? He goes, it pays $100 a day, and you have 3 days on the set. I go, well, what do the rehearsals pay? He goes, that's all part of the movie. I go, I can't rehearse for free. Looks like I ain't rehearsing. I ain't coming up here to fucking rehearse.
You were talking about your schedule earlier. I loved when you had that meeting last week, and you were talking to our friend at the bar, and you were just messing with him the whole time. Just like, oh, yeah. I'll say I'll go until the day of. And he was having a heart attack.
It really is the truth, Lee.
And
I'm not lying to anybody no more. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm too old and I don't have the fucking time. And especially when it involves a plane. You know, there's just so many things that I just can't do. I just won't do. You know, when I'm sitting there and I'm it's October and you're talking to me about a situation that's going to occur in April. I'll talk to you about it. You sure? Right. Yeah. No, come on. Really? You know, I'll talk to you about it. When am I going to fit it in? I don't fucking know.
Come back in March?
Huh?
Yeah. Like, is that what you say, basically? Or
yeah, call me back in March. I'll let you know what's going on.
It's fun for me now because I know what your response is going to be. So whenever I see someone ask you a question like that, it just makes me happy.
Oh, yeah. I even my agents know. I'll tell you whatever the fuck you want to hear the day of. You know, while nothing's going on. Once I wake up, get up, eat cereal, then I really know if I'm taking that right over the hill. Then I really know. Then I really decide if what I'm about to do is that fucking important to me. What's the most important thing for me to do today? Is it really to go over a hill to get a bad sandwich with somebody and talk about shit I've already heard 80 times? Not really. That gets canceled. This gets canceled. This gets canceled. This gets canceled. It's that fucking quick.
People are always surprised when they find out about like my work schedule. They're like, so when are you going to do it? I'm like, I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out next week.
Yeah, we'll find out next. We don't know nothing about nothing about nothing. That's what makes this the most interesting job in the world.
It's actually kind of freeing not having to worry about it. Because that would have freaked me out before. That would have given me anxiety.
Oh, I know it still does. But listen, all you got to do is look at my calendar and go, he's gone that weekend and that weekend. I know I'm not working.
Yeah, but that doesn't even work all that sometimes. Because sometimes the gig, it just goes away. You're like, I can like, book something or maybe, like, who knows? No.
Once in a while that happens.
Once in a while, but
if you look at the two main comedy club weeks in a month,
oh yeah, those,
they're
yeah.
always solid.
Yeah, those are true. So, but then sometimes you change the day you're leaving, so I'll
no, I'm always leaving Thursday. I've got it down to it. The funniest thing about me is they'll call me and they'll go, listen, they life you to come. And I'll give them the number of the Wednesday night flight. Like, this is late. Do you understand me?
So you'll tell them you're coming in Wednesday?
Sure. I'll get
You'll do the research to find out what the Wednesday night flight number is.
You know I don't fuck around, Lee. Oh. If you don't, I even do red eyes. If you don't catch it once I send you the ride, you're just that stupid. Oh, yeah.
And they're waiting for you at the airport with the sign?
Sure. I just have to schedule like 8 appointments. Sure. Go ahead. Yeah. Sports radio. Go ahead. Drumming. Go ahead. Oh, a podcast? Yeah, sure. I'll break my fucking rule this time, P. I'll do a podcast. Once they ask me about the podcast, then I really pull the plug on them. Then I give them to about 4:30 or 5, 6 maybe. Let's say if it's fucking East Coast Club.
Right.
I'll do it about 7:01, which is 10:01 that time.
In the morning?
At night.
Oh, at night. Okay.
So they're going to bed already with their pajamas on, thinking they got to get up early and go get pick up Joey Diaz at the fucking... They think they got to wake up and go see
They're Joey. Already asleep then. They probably have to wake up early.
They're already asleep. They're getting up at 5 to go pick up Joey at the fucking red eye, and he just drops a bomb on them. They take the little snuggies off. Hello, Joey, what's going on? Listen, you're not going to believe this. I was yelling.
This can only happen to me.
You always open up, but you're not going to believe this, and this will only happen to me. I'm sitting here all fucking week. Scratching my ball, sniffing my fingers. Do you understand me? Nobody fucking gives a fuck about me. Just right now. What time is it over there? It's
10:01.
It's 10:07. Yeah, right now. 10 to fucking 7 my time. I just got a call from a fucking casting director that they want me to audition for this role tomorrow. So wait, whoa. Does that mean you're canceling tomorrow? Come on. Would I do that to you? I talked her into putting it on tape tonight, but I got to do it at 9 o'clock. That's the only problem. That means I can't make the red eye. Fuck. I don't think I could schedule that radio for you. Well, listen, it's already 3/4 sold out. Wednesday, what do we got Thursday? We got 2:10. All right, then what are you worried about? We'll take some pictures. They'll go on Twitter. Everybody's happy. And we'll sell out the weekend. I need your fucking... And then when he gets off the phone, there's no audition. There's no vertigo. There's no nothing.
You're going to have to start like keeping a list of all your excuses so you don't reuse them.
Vertigo will last forever. I get vertigo whenever the check ain't right, something. You know what I'm saying? Whenever something ain't right, the check ain't right.
Is it the handy the check, you start getting vertigo?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Let me tell you something. If they make me an offer and it ain't right, I'll milk the offer to the day before the week, and I'll sell a bunch of tickets. And then I'll call my agent and we'll start working. And listen, call the club and tell him Joey's got vertigo. You don't know if he can make it. He said he just looked at the offer for the first time.
Your agent must hate seeing your phone number pop up like on Wednesdays.
Yes, he does.
Wednesdays, like, I'm not going to answer your calls on Wednesdays. It's always bad news.
Dog, if I'm going to pay him 10%, I'm going to make him earn. I'm worse than that Hasidic Jew on the flight to fucking LAX that time that worked those fucking stewardesses. I will work that agent to death if he gets me for 10%. I don't give a fuck, Jack. I'll make up fucking work. I'll switch weeks on him just to torment him.
And you didn't need to switch the weeks? You're just
the funniest thing was, I called him like in September and said, listen, I can't make you no promises. But look at those weeks after the special. I don't know how they're going to go. He's like, what are you talking about? What are you saying? They go, I don't know. I might cancel all of them.
I can't believe you at least gave him that warning.
Oh, I go, the Wilbur might go. Connecticut might go. And they weren't going nowhere. I'm just torching them just to let them know who the Captain Kirk of the Enterprise is. I'm whipping them. I'm like, you know what? I might do Irvine, but we might cancel Portland. Portland! Yeah, we might cancel Portland. I might just take the rest of the fucking year off, all right? Oh, my God. There's just silence.
When you smoke weed, do you get evil thoughts and just call people?
Please. Like, that's my darkest thoughts when I'm sitting there by myself.
Just with a phone in the joint.
And then I have to hear somebody talking to me and bothering me and shit. Those are my best fucking moments when I'm sitting there. I could draw up shit in my head that'll put you down. And I even have it strategically when I could call you, what times. I could work you the whole night.
I was talking to Paula because she's like thinking of moving in. When she's moving in a week or two, and I was like, well, yeah. So Joey calls sometimes, and she's like, what time does he call? I'm like, well, it could be 2 a.m. or 6 a.m. And I'm like, well, and she's like, okay.
I just put the cell phone on vibrate.
It's always on vibrate, but it's fun. I almost missed the 6 a.m. phone calls. Like, you had me on that regimen for at least a month.
I'll put you back on it first thing tomorrow morning. I'll put you to the front of the line. That's like 10 to 6. That's a good one right there.
You have a schedule? With like a list?
First off, you know the people that call me in the daytime from missing with a number that I don't recognize? I call them at like 5:01 in the morning. They never pick up, but they're baffled.
Of course, it's 5 a.m.
4:35 around. And then I call you. I call all the people like at 6.
Torment Los Angeles.
I give them till 6. If I see Red Band is doing that shit periscoping, I give him whatever time he stopped periscoping. And I'll blast him right there at this house twice, back to back. I'll make sure he answers that fucking phone.
Even if he went to bed at like 5?
I don't give a fuck.
You're going to call him at 6:30?
I don't give a fuck. If I know people are doing blow, if I see them on Facebook and I think they're doing blow, I will call them and shit.
Why do you need to torment these people so
because
much?
Because you have to. There was a friend of mine that's a comedian locally here, and he would do blow and go on Twitter. And I would call him at like 6. And just start tormenting his life about fucking, listen, dog, I just got a call from the cops. I would fucking torment him. I'm a professional. This is what I enjoy. I don't have a lot of things that I enjoy.
this is...
You, I take peace on.
When?
All the time.
When do you take peace on me?
Listen, if I gave you
the H... I had Larry as my witness this weekend on the other end of the phone calls. He was like, that was hysterical when he was busting your balls.
Listen, I could put you in a fucking insane asylum. I could put you on a 30-day...
I'm like halfway there. I've been Googling, doing some Yelp researches.
Listen to me. In 30 days, I could put you in an insane asylum asking questions. Going in there fucking dropping Pink Floyd fucking lyrics and shit. But I like it. You're a good kid.
Thank you. I don't
get the satisfaction from cracking. It's people who think they're geniuses who I like to crack. Those are the ones that I can put them on the Smoke Low Crack program.
How many people have you sent to the insane asylum? At least two.
About 15.
They must know you then. There must be like a story of Joey Diaz to the mental institutions.
There's a kid on Facebook. I was dear friends with him for a while. I loved him. I loved him like a fucking brother. I really did, man. And I don't know. He just always felt like I put something on him. He went to a therapist and talked about it. Because years later, he wrote me like this note on fucking Facebook. You know, you really messed with my head. We were kids. Who the fuck knew? We were just playing around.
Oh, I'm in for a lot of mental therapy. I was actually thinking about it, to be honest with you.
What were you thinking about? Like?
I was thinking, I've never gone to therapy. I've never done it. I was like, fuck, I pay for this insurance. Might as well test it out.
And when are you going to talk to the lady?
I haven't called yet.
Call and you go down there, they put your name in the file, and then they ship your name to Washington. Now they put you in the loony bin, all right? Now you've been to the loony bin one time. It don't mean that you've been to the loony bin. Now they start sending you propaganda in the mail, right? Because they know you're half retarded, right? And they start sending you propaganda, and they ask you about about a national diet and stuff like that. The next thing you know, you're fucking, they send you peanuts. And you go shoot the president. You can't figure out what made you go shoot the fucking president. What made you go shoot the movie theater.
I'm not shooting nobody.
But that's what I'm saying. You're not going to. But if you go tell them you're crazy, then they'll make you crazy.
You think so? You don't recommend therapy? Well, I mean, have you done it?
When I went, I never knew what therapy was. It just sounded very distant to a guy like me. Especially at a young age. But when I was in the halfway house and I failed a drug test, they put me back at the halfway house. And then when I failed another drug test, they were going to put me in jail. Thank God I had a great attorney who negotiated a 6-week stint at a place called Serenity, which is now out of business. This thing went out of business 25 years ago. Did I put it out of business? No. No, I paid them and everything was great. Because you couldn't get the certificate until you paid them. So for me to have to pass this probation thing, I had to pay them the certificate. They fucked me, but I didn't give a fuck. They kept me out of jail. It was 6 to 9 every fucking night. 5 nights a week. 6 to fucking 9. So if you left work at 5, you had to go right to fucking...
Did they have dinner for you?
Did what?
Did they have dinner for you?
They had dick for you. They had a break at 7:30. You had a 15-minute break to eat your dinner if you brought any. The women were very nice. I had never, even going to prison, I could sit here and tell you that I was put into groups. They never put me into nothing. There was zero rehabilitation for me as far as talking in there or anything like that. There was AA meetings and NA meetings, and there was a group that you automatically paid for, whether you got something out of it or not. I went to that one.
So yeah, might as well go.
But I didn't go to anything else that I felt really... This was the first time in this halfway house. Was the first time where I saw the effects of therapy. You know, and it started with talking, a conversation. It felt like we started talking about a conversation, and then they took that conversation and used it against me. Every word, literally. Now, there's one thing about me. I'm not a literal guy.
What do you mean by that?
If somebody's sitting outside that wall,
okay,
I could get the cops called on me every fucking night. You know when we're fucking around, you and I, and I go, Lee, do a bong hit, or you giggle, or I go, Lee, come on, eat another mushroom, or Lee, we're going to eat a star together, and you look at me, and I just fuck around with you. And I just go, Lee, eat that fucking star, or I'll stab you in the neck. You and me giggle, but there could be a guy out there that takes that literally, and will dial 911 and try to press charges or say he heard it on many times, Joey telling Lee he would stab him in the neck.
Right. Yeah. This is sort of along the lines of anytime there's a tape recorded scandal, that's always my thought, is that maybe, like, we don't know, like, you know, you never know the whole story with that sort of stuff.
So, I don't know about a tape recorded scandal.
Oh, that would be a tape. I mean, I guess. Maybe. Who knows?
What the fuck are we talking about?
Little.
Being little. So I go into this therapy with these. So at the first thing you went, it was three people with one therapist. And you talk about your life and blah, 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 blah. And then the next day she came back and just laid into you. Well, if your mother smoked pot, do you think this was the reason you would smoke pot? I don't really know. Well, think about it. What do you? And it just became like they would dig on you until they found the scab. They would let you talk about it. And then every time your skin would start to grow over that puncture wound, they would pick at it. That's what it felt like.
That was their style of therapy?
That was their style or whatever. That's what I felt at that time. And I didn't think that. I think that there's some stuff sometimes that's meant to stay under the carpet. I think that, look at right now at 53, man. If you want me to lie to you guys, there's times I remember shitty things I did when I was fucking 10. I don't even have, you guys know me, and I did shit when I was 10 and 8 that I don't have the courage to talk about now. You know, that it's not like I killed somebody or raped somebody or something like that. But this is creepy type shit, you know, that I was doing with, excuse me, I was doing with friends of my mother's kids. You know, like they had daughters or something, and I would sleep over, and me and the kid, you know, we were young. We were fucking young kids, you know. We did creepy fucking things, you know. That was it that I'm kind of ashamed of. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but you're kind of ashamed of them. You didn't know. You were just a stupid fucking kid, you know.
Right.
But it comes back to fuck with you. If you have any dignity, or if you have anything that you're made of, those little things always come back and remind you, you know. So now, like, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, my mom had a dry cleaner. And she had a dry cleaner with a guy named Nelson Rivera and his wife, Delilah. They were really involved in numbers since the Delilah and Nelson ran the dry cleaners. They got extra percentages from the dry cleaner. But my mom bought into the dry cleaner. It doesn't really matter. We were all really good friends. Nelson, my mom, and my dad had gone back to the 50s. It was now the 70s, and they were still friends, dear friends. Nelson and my dad had started a dry cleaner. And this is how the relationship flourished. When my dad died, my mom stayed friends with him. She sold her half. But then Nelson opened up another dry cleaner in the Bronx, and my mom bought into that one. They had a daughter that was 2 years older than me. She was 2 fucking years older than me. And on the weekends, sometimes, they were divorced. Nelson and the girl's mother.
Yeah.
So she would only get her every other week. So Nelson would purposely get her and then bring me up there, even though she was 2 years younger than me. I was 2 years younger than her. She was older than I was. Well, I don't know how long I knew her. One day we started making out, like kissing creepily, and I would pass out. It was fucking terrible. I didn't know what I was doing. I was embarrassed. And then I would suck on her titties. I mean, we were like fucking cousins, and I was sucking her titties and shit like that. I mean, we weren't blood cousins. It wasn't like we were really cousins. Not at all. I've never even...
You don't think your parents were trying to get you to get married? Or, well, not
then. At the age of 8?
Obviously not then, but
But I remember she was old. I'm exaggerating on the age because there was one point we kept doing it and she had hair on her pussy already. And I had no hair. We didn't have sex or anything like that. We were just kissing. Well, now I think about that because I have a daughter.
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is how it repeats itself sometimes. You're like, ah. Okay. Was I sexually harassing that girl? No. Was she sexually harassing me? No. They put us in a bed together. And on Saturday mornings, we'd wake up early, 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 like at 6 a.m. At that time, I'd have like a little hard on, and she asked me what it was one time. And from there on, it was all over. She never sucked my dick or nothing like that. We didn't have sex. There was nothing like that. We were too young and too innocent. We kissed, and I squeezed the little boobies. But in the first grade, I gave Debbie Dominguez 50 fucking cents, and she showed me a titties, 50, a quarter. Me and like six other boys in the playground. We were in the first grade.
I never paid anyone. I had a girl who I did sort of what your parents, like, we had sleepovers. Like, we had a fake marriage once. It was kind of weird.
Who married you?
I don't know, probably our parents. We went to Friendly's. We got our own table. It was pretty cool. But
how old was she?
I think we might have been like maybe 8 and 6, maybe around there. Maybe probably not even that. Maybe even 5 and 4. It was young. It was younger.
And when did the marriage end? How old was you?
Oh, immediately. I mean, we were friends, but it, like I guess probably as I got older, it was started to get weird. So they probably were like, you can't sleep out. That's probably at a certain age, I guess it would probably stop being cool for a boy and a girl to sleep over. I don't really remember how old I was when I stopped though. But yeah, probably around 10. That's a weird thing to have to worry about as a dad.
I was such a Catholic kid that I don't think I could. I remember I felt guilty about that, but I didn't think I could have sex. As long as I didn't have sex, I didn't feel guilty. Even at that age, I had cut a deal with myself. But the next summer when I saw her pussy was hairy, dog. And I was like in shock.
Jesus.
And she's like, let me show it to you now with all the hair. And I was like, holy shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I was too young. I don't think I even knew about sex, to be quite honest with you.
I knew about it. I had heard about it. But I was shy towards it. It was just like kind of disgusting to me, but I like kissing people. I didn't know. I like dancing and kissing women. I like my dick getting hard and my head getting all hot. So what the fuck are you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Who doesn't like all that?
Fucking October is gonorrhea, ladies and gentlemen. This means that tomorrow when you wake up, you're going to start seeing Thanksgiving commercials. And Christmas commercials. There's already Christmas trees, somebody said, at one of the either Walmarts or Kmarts or something. They went last week and there was already Christmas trees on fucking sale. So there you have it. This petrifies the shit out of me this time of the year.
We went to Walmart and they were on Halloween and they were already putting up the Christmas stuff. And it was pretty crazy.
Well, this year went by super fucking fast, my friends. Super fucking fast. It's amazing. You sit here and you go, that's it. I had to go home tonight and take a nap after the Joe Rogan podcast. My fucking ears were bleeding from all the talking. It was ridiculous. It was tremendous. I had a good time there, but Jesus Christ. But, it's just, you can't believe it. Like, I look at things sometimes, I'm like you guys. I like to look at the calendar and go, wow, it's October 11th. We got this much time left. And all of a sudden, bro, we were just getting excited about the special.
I know. And now it's going to be here.
Okay, once November hits, it's a month and a half away.
Yeah, so in 2 hours.
Wow. Time has flown this year, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, we got some interesting new sponsors this week here. This one is the best one. I like this one so far. It's a great deal. And I've asked Larry. Larry is a driver, and I've asked him. I gave Lee. Lee, you've done Lyft before.
Oh, yeah. I've driven and as a rider.
Oh, you've driven and been a rider for Lyft?
Absolutely.
And you've always talked about Lyft. You still use Lyft.
That's the one I prefer. It's a nicer experience. It's a friendlier experience. They're always up front. I like that you can tip. You can tip these people.
That's what a lot of people like, that you could tip. Remember, I asked you one time, it was in New York. I asked my niece, and she's like, no, they're already good taken care of. I'd like to tell you about a smart way to earn extra money and get an extra $500 bonus. Drive for Lyft. Okay? Are you in between jobs and looking to earn extra money? Yeah, it's fucking Christmas time. You looking to pay money for your kids' college fund? I fucking hope so. That shit's expensive. You're going back to school yourself. You got another degree, huh? Or on your first one, you're writing the next great American novel. You're seeking alternate funding for your next startup, planning an exotic vacation, tired of waiting tables, and you just love to drive. Do yourself a favor. Drive for Lyft. The ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, and earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car, okay? There are other ride-sharing apps out there, but everyone likes driving for Lyft because they treat their drivers right. Lots of people started as customers. Now they drive for Lyft. It's a flexible way to make extra money anytime, from anywhere. All you need is a car. Driving for Lyft pays up to $35 an hour, and getting started is fast and easy. You can drive mornings, nights, weekends. Just flip into driver mode and start making money. Plus, only Lyft drivers can earn tips from within the app. Those add up fast. And you don't have to wait days or weeks to get paid. You can cash out instantly with Express Pay. It all adds up. It's super flexible. You keep your own tips, and you get paid when you need the extra cash. Plus, you make your own hours, and you're the Captain Kirk of the Enterprise. Do me a favor. You're sitting around there with a thumb in your ass. You're not doing nothing. You bought that nice car. Now the girl dumped you anyway. Now you don't know what the hell to do. I got an idea for you. Let's make some extra dough, especially over the holidays. Why not start the first with an extra couple yardsticks in your pocket, living like a doctor? Sign up for Lyft.com/Joey today. And right now, Lyft has a special offer for our listeners. Get this, a $500 new driver bonus when you sign up using our show. Just go to Lyft.com/Joey today so you can start making extra gitas and get your $500 new driver bonus today. That's Lyft.com/Joey. Again, that's Lyft.com/Joey. Listen, you've been looking for a job. You can't fucking find one. What are you going to do? Sit there during the holidays and be broke? Do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Do your family a favor. Go to Lyft.com/Joey today. Get a nickel bonus. Go to Lyft.com/Joey today. Get a $500 bonus on us, okay? Let me tell you something. When I had an opportunity to work with these guys, I had to jump on it, because a friend of mine had one of these MT watches, and I loved how it looked. The problem with me is I got this gorilla paw. And every time I get a watch, they break. I do something, so I pass it on to my goomba, Leech Lee, and he loves the watch. That just goes to show you, we don't play games here on the church of what's happening now. MVMT Watches, pronounced the movement, Jack, was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. And the watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at revolutionary prices. With over 500,000 watches sold to customers in 160-plus countries around the world, MVMT Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest-growing watch company, all right? They're on TV, radio. These guys are savages. As far as Lee's concerned, you love the watch, correct?
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's light. It looks nice. I really like the black on black. It's easy to tell the time.
And it feels great, and it looked great with that black suit on.
Absolutely.
Now, the company started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So they started their own watch company. Movement watches start at $95 at a department store. You're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup and providing the best possible price. Classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. Over 500,000 watches sold in over 160 countries. What we're going to do is this. It's the holidays. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMTWatches.com/church. C-H-U-R-C-H. This watch is really clean design. Seriously, I've been getting compliments. Lee's been getting compliments ever since he put it on. Now is the time to step up your watch game. It's the holidays. You want to look good. You want to impress people at the parties. Go to MVMTWatches.com/church. Join the movement, Jack. You're going to love these watches. Again, go to MVMTWatches.com/church. You're going to love this stuff. All right? What do you think about that, Lee?
I love
your watch. And I'm happy you love it. Don't forget, Onnit's always there for you. They've been there for us. Every time I fly, the Alpha Brain, the powder, boom, 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 I'm back. There's no jet lag. I don't feel like Bela Lugosi afterward. I'm ready to sling dick and give out bubblegum. I'd also love to welcome ZipRecruiter.com. Okay, a friend of mine turned me on to these guys, and he said they were great. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates, all right? If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post all your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/church. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/church. One more time, it's free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/church, okay? Listen, I'm not looking to hire somebody, but what I've heard is if I was looking to hire somebody, this would be it. So go to ZipRecruiter.com and put in church, and you can post any job listing for free. What do you think about that?
Yeah,
this is a fucking great deal. If you have a business, you're looking for people, it's the holidays, this is the time of the year. Don't forget, me and Lee will be at the Wilbur Theater. What's the date, Lee?
The 11th.
11-11th. And then on 11-12th, we'll be at Foxwoods at 7:30 at night. We'll be out of there by 9. Maybe we could catch the last fight of the UFC right there at the casino. That's how we roll, bitches. Thank you for rolling with us this month. Thank you for all the downloads this month. Thank you for helping us out with the taping. Listen, I love all you guys. Without you motherfuckers, we wouldn't have nothing. We figured it was Halloween. It was going to be a dead fucking thing. We'll be back Wednesday or Thursday morning with a new podcast. All right, see you then. Don't forget about us next Friday at the Wiltern and Saturday night at the Foxwoods Country Club.
This show was brought to you by Lyft. Drive for Lyft, the ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, and earn up to $1,500 a week driving your car. Sign up today at Lyft.com/Joey. That's Lyft.com/Joey. And get a $500 bonus when you sign up using our show. That's Lyft.com/Joey. $500. Great for the holidays. Just extra money. Whatever you need it for, it's Lyft.com/Joey. This show was also brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Use ZipRecruiter to post all of your jobs to hundreds of job sites, including social media like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. That's right, ZipRecruiter.com/church. To post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. This show was also brought to you by MVMT Watches. Go to MVMTWatches.com/church to get 15% off of your order off of their great watches that start at just $95. I myself am wearing the black on black watch. It is great. I've had it for a few weeks now. It's very light and comfortable, and I love the way it looks. So go to MVMTWatches.com/church to get 15% off your order with free shipping and free returns.
We are you looking at me all weird for? Like, I owe you $22.
I don't know.